In our exploration of market mechanics, we have already seen how the invisible exerts more power than the visible. In the long shadow of markets, we traced how secondary markets and arbitrage are not mere side effects but active forces, sending ripples back into production, pricing, and even employment. In the invisible balance, we uncovered how Pareto efficiency and zero-sum dynamics impose silent limits on fairness, how every gain carries a hidden cost. How distribution is never neutral, but choreographed by asymmetry. Now we descend deeper into the engine room itself, the place where every tick, every candle, and every random fluctuation is born. Here we meet liquidity and its visible stage, the order book. Liquidity is often reduced to a classroom definition, the ease of buying or selling without moving the price. This is true, but it is far too thin. Liquidity is the bloodstream of the market, the medium through which life circulates. It is not just a condition of trade, it is the condition for trade. Without it, the charts freeze, the auction stalls, and the very game collapses. And yet, like a river, liquidity does not flow evenly. It pools in certain places, dries up in others, surges when storms arrive, and occasionally spills into floods that drown participants. To grasp liquidity is to see beyond the candle's shape or the chart's trend line. It is to understand the why beneath the what, why prices accelerate without warning, why reversals emerge at strange, recurring levels, and why noise is often less random than it appears, carrying the fingerprints of hidden design. Liquidity is not simply money moving, it is the lifeblood of the market, the medium without which the game cannot be played. To starve liquidity is to starve the market itself. The philosophy of markets, the order book, theater of intention. At first glance, the order book appears simple, a ledger of buy and sell orders stacked above and below the current price. It looks like a neutral display of supply and demand, almost like a balance sheet for the market in real time. For many beginners, it carries the illusion of objectivity. What you see must be what exists, but the reality is subtler. The order book is not a transparent window, but a stage. It is a theater where intentions are signaled, disguised, and withdrawn in rapid succession. Just as poker players bluff with chips they never intend to risk, traders and institutions often place orders not to be filled, but to influence perception. The book becomes a negotiation, a performance of depth rather than its true measure. Consider the iceberg order. When an institution needs to buy millions of shares, it cannot simply place the full order into the book. Doing so would drive the price skyward, working against their own interest. Instead, they break the order into fragments. Only a small tip is visible, and as each piece fills, new fragments quietly replace it. To the casual observer, the market seems to tick along with ordinary flow, but beneath the surface, a whale is feeding, slowly and deliberately. Or take spoofing, where large visible orders are flashed to create the illusion of demand or supply, only to be canceled before execution. Though often policed, the tactic reveals the performative nature of the book. It is not a static truth, but a shifting narrative, part bluff, part intent, part mask. This is why skilled traders read the book as a living text rather than a snapshot. Each line of bids and offers is provisional, contingent, and shaped by strategy. Some orders are genuine, others are decoys, and all of them exist within a dance of exposure and concealment. To mistake it for pure transparency is to miss the drama being enacted before your eyes. The order book is not truth. It is theater. Bids and offers flash, cancel, reappear. What is real is not what is shown, but what is hidden. The philosophy of market stop runs, harvesting liquidity. If the order book is theater, stop runs are the set pieces where the plot turns. Every stop loss is a conditional market order waiting to be triggered. If price hits here, close me out. In aggregate, these instructions create predictable pockets of liquidity, clusters of guaranteed buy or sell flow that larger players can plan around. This is not cruelty, it is structure. Large participants cannot enter or exit size without counterparties. Stops provide those counterparties. Price is therefore drawn toward areas dense with resting orders, because that is where transactions of consequence can be completed without revealing intent too early. How a stop run typically unfolds. Stage 1, mapping the pool. Below recent swing lows or above swing highs sits a cluster of retail stops. Algorithms infer these clusters from structure, range, and prior reactions. Stage 2, the push. Prices nudge toward the pool, sometimes gradually via persistent order flow, sometimes abruptly via a news catalyst or a liquidity sweep. Stage 3, the flush. As the level breaks, stop losses convert into market orders. Liquidity spikes. Larger players use this surge of forced orders to fill their entries or exits at favorable prices. Stage 4, the snapback. Once the liquidity is harvested and positions are built, the immediate need to trade at that level diminishes. With the pool consumed, price often reverses sharply, leaving late chasers stranded. A concrete example, imagine price compressing sideways, forming a tight range. Retail traders buy the range with stops just below the range low. Institutions seeking long exposure prefer not to chase higher. They want counterparties. By probing below the range, the market triggers those stops, sell orders. Institutions buy into that forced selling, accumulate inventory, and fifth, with the pool exhausted, price springs back into the range and continues higher. To the untrained eye, it looks like manipulation. To the tape reader, it is a textbook liquidity event. Where stop pools often form, the usual suspects, just beyond obvious swing highs lows, around round numbers and widely watched moving averages, at the edges of consolidation ranges and well-tested support resistance, near prior gap areas, session opens, closes, and previous days high low. Risk practice for the individual trader is therefore less about avoiding stops, which are essential, and more about placing them where the crowd is not, sizing so that a sweep does not end the campaign, and building entries around structure that anticipates the sweep rather than fears it. The crowd must be predictably wrong, their stops predictably placed. The market feeds by harvesting these orders, and only by doing so can the larger players accumulate without exposing themselves. The philosophy of markets. Liquidity pockets and fair value gaps. Markets do not flow like smooth rivers. They lurch, leap, and stall. The reason is simple. Liquidity is not distributed evenly. Instead, it concentrates in specific zones, areas where many traders place orders and where larger players can transact without revealing too much. These areas become liquidity pockets, magnetic regions on the chart that pull price toward them, where liquidity pockets often form. Round numbers, psychological levels such as 100, 1,000, or 10,000, prior highs and lows, clear reference points watched by the crowd, support and resistance zones, levels repeatedly defended or attacked, session opens and closes, where institutional flows often concentrate. Price is attracted to these pockets because they offer what the market always seeks, counterparties. When liquidity is dense, large participants can transact in size without moving the market violently. This is why obvious levels so often get tested. Markets are pulled toward them like iron filings to a magnet. But sometimes the opposite occurs. Liquidity vanishes. In fast-moving, imbalanced conditions, when buyers overwhelm sellers or sellers overwhelm buyers, price can skip entire regions without meaningful trade. These voids are known as fair value gaps, FVGs. On a chart, they appear as candles with minimal overlap between wicks and bodies, revealing zones where very few orders were executed. Fair value gaps matter because they represent unfinished business. The market, by its nature, seeks balance. Unfilled zones often invite a return, as if the auctioneer needs to check those prices to see if willing buyers and sellers remain. When the market comes back to fill a gap, it is not mystical, it is structural. It reflects the reflexive need to match stranded orders and restore continuity in the flow. For the trader, liquidity pockets and FVGs serve as a map of intention. Pockets show where price is likely to gravitate. Gaps show where it is likely to return. Together, they sketch the invisible terrain of price discovery, giving form to what otherwise looks like random motion. Price discovery, the endless auction. At its core, every market is an auction. Buyers submit bids, sellers submit offers, and the last agreed trade becomes the current price. This constant negotiation is called price discovery, the process by which the market collectively determines what something is worth at a given moment. Yet discovery is never clean. It is messy, competitive, and reflexive. Buyers sometimes grow aggressive, lifting every offer in sight, creating vertical surges where price marches upward with little pause. At other times, sellers dominate, leaning on the bid until buyers capitulate and prices collapse. Each tick on the screen is not random. It is a record of this struggle between urgency and patience, aggression, and defense. The order book makes this visible as a living process. Orders stack and vanish, depth appears and disappears, levels are tested and broken. It is never a fixed equilibrium, but a shifting dialogue between supply and demand. Short-term noise is often nothing more than the market's micro-adjustments, testing where the balance lies. Over longer horizons, however, a pattern emerges. Markets tend to gravitate toward areas where volume has accumulated, where both buyers and sellers agree to transact heavily. These zones of balance become reference points, anchors of perceived fair value. When price strays too far from them, it often swings back, as though tethered by an invisible cord of consensus. Price discovery, then, is not a destination but a perpetual journey. The market is always probing, always searching, always auctioning for truth. Every surge and every collapse is part of this ongoing dialogue, each move planting the seeds of its eventual countermove. Reversion to the mean, the market's gravity. No matter how far or fast a market runs, it rarely escapes gravity for long. This principle, known as reversion to the mean, is one of the deepest truths of market behavior. When price stretches too far from equilibrium, inefficiencies build up, liquidity thins out, and participants become overextended. Sooner or later, the imbalance invites correction. This mean is not a single line on a chart, but a cluster of reference points. Moving averages, volume-weighted prices, fair value zones, prior balance areas, each serves as a gravitational anchor. The further price drifts away, the stronger the pullback toward balance tends to become. Importantly, reversion is not guaranteed on a timetable. Extremes can persist, and trends can extend far beyond what reason suggests. The old market adage applies: the market can remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent. Yet even the longest-running imbalance eventually exhausts itself. When liquidity dries up, when one side of the trade can no longer push, the pendulum swings back, often violently. For traders, mean reversion is both a danger and an opportunity. It punishes late trend followers who mistake momentum for permanence. But it also offers setups for those patient enough to fade excess, to wait for stretch conditions, and anticipate the inevitable return to balance. What looks like collapse in the moment is often just the market exhaling after an overextended breath. Excess cannot last. Liquidity dries, imbalance corrects, and the pendulum swings back. The market always reverts, not as law, but as necessity. The philosophy of markets. Conclusion. Reading the current liquidity, stop runs, iceberg orders, gaps, and mean reversion are not isolated curiosities. They are threads of a single fabric, woven together to form the true architecture of markets. When viewed in isolation, each can look like noise, but when seen in relation to one another, they reveal a coherent pattern. The market as a living ecosystem designed to facilitate liquidity, balance, and flow. To study liquidity is to pierce the surface of price charts and glimpse the bloodstream beneath. Every sudden spike, every grinding consolidation, every violent reversal, none of these are accidents. They are the choreography of a system that must constantly seek counterparties, redistribute risk, and restore equilibrium in order to survive. For the trader, learning to read this current is transformative. The market ceases to look like a hostile riddle or a random storm. It becomes legible, even if not predictable. Its language is subtle, written in footprints of liquidity and flows of intention. What once felt like chaos begins to speak in patterns. And so the invitation is this: do not merely watch the surface. Learn to read the current. Beneath the noise, beneath the theater, beneath the illusion of randomness, the market is always speaking.